Welcome in to the White Claw Hard Seltzer Studios Overtime, coming at you for the next 2 hours right here on Fan Run Radio. Jake Miller, Josh Stackhouse, Davis has the week off. We're going to be joined by Lowe here in about 20 to 30 minutes, give or take. Josh, how was your weekend?
Dude, I had a good weekend, actually. I don't remember most of it. I don't know why.
I can just about guess.
I do remember what I did this weekend, actually. I celebrated my buddy's birthday this weekend. That was cool. He actually just moved back up here from, where's the Masters played? Augusta?
Yeah.
He was living down there for a little bit. So he just moved back up here. So, yeah, he said there's nothing to do there, and the food wasn't even that good. But other than that, man, honestly, I had a really good weekend. I didn't have to do too much Saturday or Sunday, so I just kind of, like, did not too much, man. I enjoyed my weekend. How about you?
I watched a little bit of NASCAR, did a little bit of this, a little bit of that. Got some stuff done around the house. Finally got to mow my yard. But, no, that's it.
You said you got to mow your own?
I finally got to mow my yard.
Hey, congratulations. Yeah. That's a good feeling for no whatsoever reason.
Absolutely. Big news for former Tennessee baseballs. Ben Joyce promoted to the Rocket City Trash Pandas, moving up to double-A ball.
Oh, wow. He also got promoted?
And Drew Gilbert, single-A ball. He will be playing in Fayetteville, North Carolina.
Yeah, that's close, too. Relative, you know, I guess.
Not
really, but you know what I mean.
It's Carolina. I remember that drive back from Fort Bragg. That was not a short drive.
I know.
It was like the longest relative, but the best ride of my life when I returned home from Fort Bragg, which where Fayetteville is.
Huh. Yeah, so that's, what was that, two Vols already promoted in, what, like 4 or 5 games?
Yeah, and I mean, Drew Gilbert, his first AB, I mean, he went yard.
Yeah, he bat 455? I'm pretty sure is what I was reading.
I mean, he was
very impressive.
Yeah, I mean, he's down there in rookie ball just lighting it up.
Balling on fools, man. He's like, listen, I'm ready for the show.
He's like, send me to Houston as fast as you can get me to Houston.
I don't even know what their outfield looks like, because I'd assume he'd come in and be center field, left or right. But so I don't know. But, I mean, that's big news for already making waves. You know we were cold, man. You know they were great athletes. So.
Oh, they're fantastic athletes.
Yeah, so you knew it was coming. Just I honestly didn't expect it to be this quick.
No. And, I mean, you sit there and you think it's like, okay, well, how long is it going to be before we see these guys in the bigs? And will any of them even make it? Because, I mean, you look at some of the guys that went through last year, and I just sit there and I'm like, man, I don't know if any of these guys are ever going to even see AAA ball. I mean, we saw it with Liam Spence. He, he played a little bit of AAA last year and did okay, and then he comes back this year, and he's down back in Myrtle Beach playing single-A ball with the Pelicans, and he is not
really
doing well. Like, batting well below the Mendoza line, like batting 150. Like, not good at all.
Yeah, no.
But Ben Joyce is still dealing.
Yeah, I think he had his first strikeout this weekend.
Still throwing 100.
Yeah, I just saw that one pitch, I guess, because it was on Twitter, but like a high and outside maybe. Got the dude swinging.
Nice. 865-546-8200. Your number if you want to hop on with us this evening. Let's go to TJ, the Kentucky fan. What's up, Tej?
Hey, what's up, guys? A lot of Fort Bragg talk already. But, hey, you know, I messaged you. I know that. But, yeah, Drew Gilbert, man. The crazy thing is he's an outfielder, and they just called up two of the outfielders from the Fayetteville Woodpeckers to single A. So he's going to absolutely get a lot of playing time up here, and their stadium is literally 5 minutes from my house, season tickets. So, hey, if y'all want to come catch a game, y'all, even though y'all are Tennessee fans, y'all are welcome, man. Come on.
I mean, I might make the trip over as long as we can throw in a trip to Twister's Pizza.
Hmm.
Hey, I'm down.
That actually sounds like a very fun evening.
So, backstory on Twister's. When I was at Fort Bragg for AIT, if you don't know what that is, that's your job training after basic training. That was the only place other than Papa John's that we could get pizza from and have it delivered to our barracks.
Well,
really?
They're still open.
So either it was really good or it was the only pizza that I can get, and it just tasted really good because it was the only pizza that I could get.
Well, they've got a new one. It opened – maybe it was open when you were down here. What is it? New York Pizza? What? I can't think of it right now.
I never got to go a lot of places just because, you know, they had us pretty much on lockdown even during AIT. Like, we weren't allowed to rent cars. We weren't allowed to go off base unless it was like one of these, you know, tiered passes. I mean, you remember what it was like, you know, coming through.
Oh, yeah.
So we never really got to go off base that much. I know we did get to go somewhere for Thanksgiving, and I actually ate Thanksgiving dinner at a Buffalo Wild Wings.
Yeah, it's great. You know, everybody says Texas is great. The only thing I remember about Texas is my dorm room and getting yelled at.
Yeah, that sounds about right.
Hey, you know, talking about football real quick, transitioning, you know, I seem to have struck a nerve with Bear today talking about football. You know, they asked the question of who would you rather beat this year in football, Kentucky or Florida? Now, I understand both sides of the spectrum because Florida, you get that monkey off the back. I know it's not a bad losing streak like Kentucky has against Tennessee or Florida. I think both of those respectively were 24 years and like 28 or maybe even 31 years.
Uh-huh.
But you also get that monkey off your back if you beat Florida, but it's not the Florida that we're used to. If you beat Kentucky, you guys have beat us 40-something times out of the last 40-something years. And, you know, yeah, we're ranked preseason 21. You beat a top 25 opponent if we're still ranked by that game. So I'm going to have to ask you, Jake,
okay,
which one is more appealing to you, beating a top 25 Kentucky team who may finish second in the East, or getting that monkey off your back and beating an unranked Florida team?
So this is kind of a double-edged sword because, TJ, go back to 2016. We beat Florida for the first time in 11 years. We had just beaten Georgia for the second straight year in a row off of Hail Mary. But then we turned around and lost three straight to A&M, which nobody was mad about, to Alabama, which nobody was mad about. But then you lose to a mediocre South Carolina team, and everybody was angry. And then you lose to Vanderbilt and shut the door on a chance at going to Atlanta and possibly a Sugar Bowl. So I would say, I don't know. Florida probably, just because I hate them. I really do.
I'd have to agree. It's super close, just because I know if we lose to Kentucky this year, we'll never hear the end of it. That's my only reasoning for wanting to beat Kentucky, is just to have them never, you know, just to also shut down their big head. But I'd take a Florida win any day over Kentucky. That's just kind of how little, I guess, I think about it. I'd rather definitely see us beat Florida and get that monkey off our back and get our program started in the right direction, because you can always turn around and beat Kentucky next year. And you know that you'll always have them, and you know they'll get us once out of every maybe six years, something like that. I don't know.
Yeah.
And see, the way I look at it, you know, if Tennessee beats Florida this year, you're going to have the – I know you guys hate Florida. I get it. Florida to you guys is like Loserville to us. I get it.
I hate them too.
Florida, if you beat Florida, you're going to hear the, oh, we're down, this ain't the Florida of old. But if you lose to Kentucky, this isn't the Kentucky of old. This isn't the, you know – I'm not saying we're the best team. I'm not saying we're even good. We might be mediocre. We'll see how it goes. But you're right, it is a double-edged sword, because at the end of the day, this isn't Florida of old, this isn't Kentucky of old. It's kind of a hard, it's a hard decision. You'd like to win both of them, of course, sure, but man, that's tough.
I don't know, if we lose to Kentucky, it's like they got us on their one good year in entire history, so I mean, like, it's not that bad of a loss, I guess. It's worse if we lost to Florida this year, because like you said, I guess they're not the Florida of old. But we got to get on them while they're down and keep them down, and that's the best way to do it. And I don't know. I'm not. Kentucky's a big game just based off of what we expect their record to be in that game, and I guess it second place is up for grabs technically in that game, and that's the only reason why I think it matters this season. But I don't know. I don't expect, like, who's the quarterback next year? Like, I don't see Kentucky carrying on greatness, like multiple 10-win seasons. I don't know.
Well, you know, it's funny you bring that up. You can't you can't say that. It's funny because you can't say that about any team, really. Who's the quarterback next year? Because why? The transfer portal. You can't say that because team can go out and get a high-rising sophomore, junior, or senior transfer, grad transfer, to play 1 year of quarterback and just keep doing that the entire, you know, next 50 years.
I guess. But, I mean, that's assuming that you replace, like, the transfer is going to be, like, a good transfer, I guess. Because you can get, I guess, like, I don't even, like, Spencer Rattler is, I guess, what the hype transfer quarterback of the, like, I don't know. There's a lot of QB switching going on, but they're switching for a reason because they didn't beat out somebody. So I don't know how much. I don't know. Recruiting a five-star quarterback, really, I don't really know.
Well, and we used to look at wide receivers as the biggest divas on the football field, and realistically now it's the quarterbacks.
Yeah. I wouldn't disagree with that. Probably still DBs. Probably still DBs and wide receivers, but QBs are pretty bad now. Just because, I mean, NIL now, man, I mean, they're number one guys no matter what. The quarterback's the most looked at position. It's the most important position. They're going to get the most attention, so I can see them becoming big divas.
Well, and you're starting to figure out who's, like, an actual team player and who's selfish. Yeah. Spencer Rattler, selfish. Caleb Williams, transfers, selfish.
Selfish. That's you got to look at different situations. I don't know.
Well, Jake, if you decide to make the trip, let me know. But I know this. I know one thing is for sure. You can find Spencer Rattler and South Carolina tickets beside the tampons at Costco. Y'all have a good one, man.
Keep it rolling. Phil is up next. What's up, Phil?
We're Larry Jack Snake.
Philly!
How are you stacked on?
Pretty good. Drinking this nasty coffee. Need some,
I know.
Need some Crown Royal in it.
Only in Knoxville can you hear 30 minutes of Kentucky football today.
I'm telling you.
What, he spent 15 minutes on the drive, too?
Yeah, same old phone call. That's ridiculous, guys. I mean, good Lord, I'd rather beat Florida. I mean, Florida's a legitimate powerhouse, and Kentucky's never been a powerhouse except when Bear Bryant was up there, and that's way back before I was born. But you look at it. Why don't you ask that Kentucky fan when he calls in, who would he rather beat? Rick Barnes or Louisville basketball? How about that? Put a question back in his face.
I like it. I'm going to do that. I'm stealing that, Phil. I'm gonna do that tomorrow. That's awesome.
But how's our football recruiting doing?
We're sitting at about 10. We got a crystal ball for Ricky Gibson today. So I expect him to commit to us just from based off of what I've been told. And expect to finish with about a top 10 class. I don't think it'll be a top five, but you're definitely going to be top 10.
Well, been an improvement from the last recruiting class.
Yeah. I mean, we were borderline top 10 last year. And then, of course, after all the transfers, I think it shoved us back to 15th, if I'm not mistaken.
And then this year, we can get some, we still have some scholarships left. We can get some transfers in the portal, like the old Kentucky guy said, you know?
Absolutely. I mean, that's what they do. That's what Lane Kiffin's done. Yeah. He has mastered the art of recruiting out of the transfer portal.
You can grab some good kids, man. I'm not saying they're not. You still got to care about these high school kids because they're the future. So you can't build one-year programs and think it's going to always work out. I think our recruiting is going to keep going up.
That's how you get ball players at your positions that you're hurting at.
Yeah.
I don't know why we're not doing it.
Yeah, it's a good safety net. I think we brought in the two DBs. That helped depth there.
Yeah, that's right.
We brought in a couple other players, and then I think with the running back brought in, that gives us at least three guys that you can work with and be okay. I mean, if he turns out to be what he was at Clemson, I think we're just even better off than we were. So,
well, the key is if John Mitchell, which we got last year in the portal, if he can be a legitimate player on the field this year.
I mean, between him and Byron Young, I mean, I just worry about our linebackers, Phil.
I've heard a couple things on Mitchell and so far in these practices, and I think they talked about it some this morning, but he's made some plays out there in this fall practice and seemed to be more of what he was supposed to be than he turned out to be last year, at least, is what I've heard.
Y'all heard this Dylan Sampson's kind of turned some heads over there?
I have heard that.
I just wish we had more access, man. It just kills because, like, this could be such a just a build-up momentum type thing for the fans that we just get the bare minimum of just backdoor, like, information from practices, and it's just kills.
Have y'all heard anything about what's going on with the current UT basketball roster? I saw something, some person's posting that was on On3 Sports about that Julian Phillips is the real deal and that B.J. Edwards is the most improved player since the start of workouts to the end of the workouts.
I've not heard anything about the basketball roster. I'll check into that. But, I mean, obviously Julian Phillips is going to start. I mean, he's probably a one-and-done player, and I think we all expected that coming in. I just really want B.J. to do well, Phil. I really want him to be our starting point guard.
Have you seen him play, Jake?
I've seen him on video. I've never seen him play in person.
Well, that on video is good enough, but I've seen him probably 60 or 70 times in person. So,
kid can ball.
I knew the first time I saw him play that he was going to be good. Yeah. He was a eighth grader going to the ninth grade.
Yeah, I mean, he's going to be.
Yeah, I think he'll be a great fit here, man.
He's going to be something special.
Especially him. And then if Ziegler's coming off the bench like I expect, just a 1-2 punch, kind of like we had last year, I think it'd be great.
Yeah, it would be good.
We still got that Iowa State kid, too, right? Or Idaho State? Where was he from?
Indiana State.
Yeah, that kid. So I think our guard play should be pretty good this year, man.
Yeah, I heard Key's looking good, too. So.
Mm-hmm.
He'll be an improvement over Victor Bailey.
Oh, anything's an improvement.
Yeah.
Yeah, Lord. I mean, you know, so, really, they've replaced everybody outside of Kenny Chandler. Now, Hatfield was a loss, but they ought to be able to absorb it with all the other personnel they got.
Should be, and I'm looking forward to basketball this year. I mean, I don't know how deep of a run we're going to make, but, I mean, we assembled the roster to where you could make a deep tournament run.
Yeah.
I'm not saying we'll make a Final Four, but you should at least make it to a Sweet 16, Elite Eight.
I hope Adu makes a jump, too, especially just to replace what we lost in Hatfield.
I think he's the key to the whole team, really.
Yeah. I mean, if he's grown the way I expect him to have grown in a season, if he wants to put in that work, you know, and want to be that guy, then I think he's going to be a great, great part of our team this year.
It's amazing I can have a good conversation with you all, and those clowns at 3-6, I just want to argue and talk about how great they are.
See ya. All right, a quick timeout. Westchester, Brady, hang right there. Overtime continues. More Fan Run Radio coming up. Fan Run Radio, overtime continues. Welcome in, Lo. What is up?
Nothing too crazy. Happy to be back again.
Nice. Ready to get back to the phones?
Let's do it.
Let's go to Westchester. What's up, Westchester?
Hey, Jake, can you take Brady first? I've got a lot to say.
Yep. Put him on hold.
Push on hold.
Thanks.
All right, Westchester's on hold. Let's go to Brady. What's up, Brady?
Well, I hope he wants to hold a while.
He's got a lot to say, he said, so...
I've got the 5 points of football life. Number one, I want to touch on what TJ was talking about, and the 3-6 idiots, as Phil called them. They did come up with a great fan poll, and that was very challenging. Kentucky versus Florida, who do you want to beat? And I voted Kentucky, and I want to tell y'all why. Number one, my value system is win the SEC conference. That's why I was so happy with basketball and baseball. Number two, beat the teams that you can on your border. We got Georgia and Alabama who are our toughest. We got South Carolina, should be able to got to get back in the mix. But we got Kentucky. We used to call Kentucky, Ole Miss, and Vanderbilt the Three Stooges. We always finished in November when Coach Johnny Major said that they remember what you do in November. That was his slogan. And so we got to beat them, and the third part here, I've heard people say, and I believe it's true. Clemson sort of took over when we left off in the mid 2000 issues. You know, there was a transition of power from us to them.
Yeah.
In the South. Well, Kentucky has also capitalized on us. We normally win every single recruiting battle that I can remember going back to 1983, except the last few years. I'll give that March, well, except the quarterback in the late 90s. What was his name before the hefty lefty?
Tim Couch.
Tim Couch, yeah. We lost that one. But we won every other one. And so it's, you know, we got to keep them in check. If we don't, there's no way we'll ever catch up with Florida. And it's not like I don't want to beat Florida. I'd love to. But these guys just live 50 miles north of us.
Yeah.
They touch us. They infiltrate our radio signals. They call our shows.
They do.
You got to put them in. They're coal miners, man. Coal miners.
And probably closet Tennessee fans, if we're being honest.
Yeah.
Well, they're jealous.
That was my one point of why I'd wanted to take the Kentucky win over Florida. I'm tired of how big of a head they have now. They get two 10-win seasons in like 108 years of living, and they just think they're the bee's knees now. And so I kind of agree with you, man. Just beat them back down into submission and make sure they know that we're the big dogs of the East, you know. That we're coming back to take our throne back from Georgia here soon. It's not bad.
Well, we got to put Kentucky, Vanderbilt, South Carolina, and Missouri under us to be able to compete with Georgia and Florida in the East. Like I say, I love the Southeastern Conference. So win the East first, because you got to do that, or you don't get to win the whole damn thing. And then go after the big trophy. I'd love to see if we could do nothing else but fill our trophy cases up with Southeastern Conference championship, I'd be a happy puppy.
Well, I mean, you're not wrong, and you know I'm kind of with you there as far as beating Kentucky, you know, over beating Florida. I had to go back and forth on it, but I mean, you remember Brady in 2016. We were happy as can be when we beat Florida and Georgia, but then when you turn around and you lose to South Carolina and Vanderbilt, I mean, it cancels it out. It's like that never happened.
Yeah, it tips the scales big time. Yeah, I agree with you. Guys, great show. I'm gonna be kind to Westchester. See ya.
See ya. Appreciate it, Brady. Let's go to Westchester. What's up, buddy?
Jake, sorry about that. I'm not trying to tell you how to run your show. I appreciate that.
Oh, yeah, man. All good.
I got the list here in front of me.
You got a list?
Yes. Oh, yeah. The thing about it is the Florida question was finally figured out right before I called, because Russ has a unique ability to steal my thunder from my phone call right before I call. It's not about who you'd rather beat. That's the wrong way to look at the question. It's who would you rather not lose to? If we beat Florida, you know, by now you know, you've heard me enough, you know, we're going to drop a game we should. And that's not, we're not going to be any better off. So, and what have I always said? Your boy just said there, I already forgot his name, sorry. Good caller, though, great caller.
Brady.
He said, Brady, win the games you have to win first. You can't be back. And I've said this for years. You can't be back until you're back by dominating the games you should win. Mm-hmm. And move up that ladder step by step. And that is, you know, now that it's Missouri, but it was always Kentucky, Candy, Carolina. Now it's Missouri. So I'm going to run through this real quick, and I'll let you guys tell me where I'm wrong. I looked at the Tennessee schedule this year, and I ranked the losses that we could take from worst to best. And I put Tennessee, Martin, Ball State, Akron, Vanderbilt, and Missouri in my top five.
Agreed.
As our worst losses.
Yeah. Agreed. I'd be livid if we lost any of those.
And then my next five are Kentucky, Crapsburg, Carolina, LSU, and Georgia.
Okay.
Am I wrong with LSU? Where would you put LSU on the list? That was where I really wasn't sure.
So LSU's a weird one, because you look at Marcus Freeman right now at Notre Dame. He's already recruiting better than Brian Kelly ever did. Now, if he can capitalize on that talent, you know, good for him. But we're about to see what kind of coach Brian Kelly really is now that he's not got a cupcake schedule that he can walk through like he has for the past however many years it's been at Notre Dame.
And then 10, 11, and 12, for those not paying attention, are Georgia, Alabama, Florida.
Right.
I put Florida as our most losable game because it doesn't matter yet until we take care of the rest. Am I, Am I off base? Am I crazy?
No. I'd probably swap Florida and LSU just because I don't know how much LSU this game.
Oh, you think it's just because it is LSU and like the tradition
My prediction is 9-3. Is like my set thought, mm-hmm. and then you know my floor is eight wins. But my third loss is to LSU, and that's just based off. I have no idea what to expect out of them, and I just that could be the one loss that I don't care about.
Well, if you look at the coaches' poll, LSU is what 30, and Tennessee is 28. So in terms of like what they see, the teams at, they're pretty equal. In terms of what the coaches see and in terms of talent, but I think the biggest difference there is that it's away.
Yeah.
I'm going to take a guess and say none of y'all have been to Baton Rouge. The reason LSU is where they are is because that's there. Yeah. If we were here, absolutely. I'd move that game around. But in Baton Rouge, if that's a 7:30 game, we got no chance. It's over. It's over before the plane lands.
Well, yeah, because, I mean, they got time to sit there and drink all day. And, I mean, people think that we were rowdy at Ole Miss last year. I mean, good Lord, LSU, this is an every home game thing.
Right. Number two, my good buddy TJ. TJ, I love you. You're a great caller. I respect the heck out of you as a person. Jake, I'm not calling you out on this because you're not, okay? But I've talked to a lot of, and I got to be careful where I tread on this because my junior year of college, I quit calling the recruiter back when he told me what my mile time had to be. And I was like, no, we're done. So, I mean, you know, I've never served. But I think even most service people will say that they don't like the service guy that talks over the top about his service. The guy that every sentence of his conversation with you is about, you can't have a conversation with the guy about him saying,
yeah, I
you're welcome for my service.
Right. How many of y'all even know that TJ is currently serving our country?
I know that 100% to be a fact.
I know you do. I know you do. I'm not doubting it. I'm just saying my point is he doesn't talk about it.
Right.
And I respect the heck out of him as a person. I want that to be said. But he still needs to check himself on where he is with Kentucky football. All right. We couldn't win with Tim Couch, and yeah, we lost Tim Couch in a recruiting battle because we had who do we have? Oh yeah, a little guy named Manning, the good one. Yeah. I'm pretty sure that we made that's like the last good call we made on a quarterback recruiting. All right, so
Casey Clawson wasn't a bad guy.
Oh, he's the most underrated quarterback in Tennessee history. We all know that.
Yeah.
Just we love you, TJ, but. Take a break. Get real. I got to send a coded message, Penn and Teller Bullis style, to Phil real quick. Hey, Mayor, if you're still listening, I asked Bear to contact you about a East Tennessee high school legend of glory days gone by, and he says you haven't responded to him yet. So if you know what I'm talking about, respond to that, please. If not, oh well. And the reason that I don't know if you've responded since Saturday is my Twitter is currently suspended, guys. And Jake, it's half your fault.
What did I do?
When I DM'd you earlier. You keep DM'd my other you tag my other account. That's so funny.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm sorry about that.
No, but, it's okay.
I was confused. I was like, wait, who is? Anyway, so you and I guess it was I won't. Yeah, I think it's already been said on there that you and Hickman created the producer's chair account.
Yes.
And somebody sent a tweet from that account on Saturday about 9:30 when I was 7, 8, 12 beverages in and said the chair was lonely and didn't know what to do sitting around in the dark. And and my response to that was that the chair should drink some bleach. And that violated Twitter's terms of service.
You bullied a chair, man. You can't do that in today's world.
I'm encouraging bodily harm or self-harm on an individual. And
it's an inanimate object.
This chair out here couldn't deserve
it. It's so auto-filtered. It's so algorithm checks that as opposed to Facebook somebody has to complain about you before they'll tell you did something wrong. That was 2 seconds after I sent that tweet. I got suspended.
In all honesty, that chair probably does need some bleach. Let's be honest.
No doubt it does.
Yeah, that's no. It saved a lot of people illnesses.
And the best thing about Twitter, laugh, ha-ha, is they make it real simple. All I have to do is delete that tweet, and they'll reactivate my account. Well, that's simple enough. Okay, sure. But if I delete that account, if I delete that tweet, I'm admitting that I violated their terms of service.
Just so it's
the principle of thing.
Mm-hmm.
No. There is no. The penalty is I'm suspended from Twitter until I admit that I violated the terms of service because my appeal got returned in less than 2 minutes. So that was obviously auto-botted too. So yeah,
what?
I have to admit to Twitter that I violated their terms of service by wishing harm on an inanimate object parody account.
Well, that honestly really may be part of their terms of service. I would not be shocked at all.
Well, it is, but there should be a system that's like somebody checks and goes, it's a chair.
It's talking to a chair.
Do you think care? They're probably offended just as much if you say it about a chair as if you say it about a person.
Well, that's true. I mean, maybe. But I've tweeted a lot worse in my time.
Yes, right. You have.
It doesn't make it right or doesn't make it make sense, but.
I mean, you said it about a chair that is sitting out in our lobby right now that's more beaten and battered than Ric Flair.
Yeah.
And it's probably as old as Ric Flair.
Yeah.
On its last legs.
Somebody's going to stand up for the chair. And if it's going to be anybody, it's going to be Twitter. So.
At some point, I'm going to cave because I can't say I'm not. I didn't realize how much I
you're missing hours.
I enjoy Twitter.
Days of Twitter.
But it's painful. And I got a whole day off tomorrow with no Twitter, so I'll probably cave. But yeah, it's interesting. And I just want to say on air that I meant no actual bodily harm or physical harm or any mental harm, or I wasn't encouraging Jake or Stackhouse to drink bleach, just the actual chair.
Thank you for not making
it.
You know, I didn't think that you guys took it that way.
Any sort of encouragement,
I
might just go down that rabbit hole.
I'm not even going to fake it. I laughed when I saw the tweet.
Oh, it actually made it?
Oh, I saw it, yeah.
Oh, wow, okay.
Let
then
it
I got
go.
In trouble.
They let the threat be happen, but suspended.
Right, it's
account.
Okay. It's okay for it. Yeah, they didn't pull it. They left it. Yeah,
just left the harm out there, but just hey, slap on the wrist.
Yeah. All righty, guys. That's all I got. Thanks for your time. Love you guys. Have a good show.
Appreciate
Love
it,
Westchester.
All right, stay with us. Overtime continues. More Fan Run Radio coming up. Time continues. Jake Miller, Josh Stackhouse, Low Rain, another hour and 20 minutes right here on Fan Run Radio. So we have our preseason top 25. Guys, I think we got snubbed.
I would agree.
Maybe
with that
just
statement.
A little.
What did they rank us at?
28th.
I would have to agree with that statement.
So, as followed, this is your USA Today coaches poll. Number one, Alabama. Number two, Ohio State. Number three, Georgia. Number four, Clemson. Number five, Notre Dame. Number six, Michigan. Number seven, A&M. Number eight, Utah. Nine, Oklahoma. Rounding out the top 10, Baylor.
I just
a little high on Clemson for going
9-3. Yeah, bro. Like, what? Why are they? What did they change?
Because they're getting the preferential treatment.
How much different are they from than what they were last year? So I just had like a little stroke there for a second, but how much?
You good?
Yeah, how much different are they? Like, they just had the same quarterback who panned out to be not that great, who now all of a sudden they say is still great. And I don't understand how they're four. Like, what did they not even win the ACC for the first time last year?
Yeah, that went to Pitt.
Pitt, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I don't really think that makes much sense at all. I mean, but I've always said, and will always say this, that their schedule is just horrible. I never understand. I mean, they play literally no one. That's why I would be fine if Clemson actually came to the SEC so they could actually have some real opponents during the regular season.
Oh, yeah, they'd be right there with South Carolina.
Right. They really would be. People think that they would do well, but they certainly would not do well.
No. Let's go to the next 10. At 11, we got Oklahoma State. Number 12, Oregon. Number 13, NC State. Number 14, Michigan State. 15, USC. Number 16, Pitt. 17, Miami. 18, Texas. 19, Wake Forest. 20, Wisconsin. It's a little high for Pittsburgh. I know they just won the ACC, but they did lose.
If Clemson's at 4, then Pitt should be right at 5. I'm just saying. But I don't see how Pitt's not better than Clemson this year, the same in exactly how it was last year. But
well, USC's getting the Lincoln Riley effect.
Yeah, that's weak.
Well, and Pitt is losing Kenny Pickett, so.
And Jordan Addison.
Yeah, so I really don't understand.
They're
but
placing
then again,
with downgraded versions of themselves, really.
Right. Then again, though, I mean, they really, most of the time, they use last season as their predictor for these polls, like at least a big portion of it, you know? So it kind of makes sense, but I agree that Clemson shouldn't be so high up.
If Miami's 17, then Tennessee should be 17. I don't see how Miami looks like a better team than we do on paper at the beginning of a season. And if they're going like
it's the Mario Cristobal effect.
I don't understand if they rank these based off how they'll start this season or how they expect them to finish the season. Like if this is what their finish aspect would be, that's really wild. But I don't know, man. Miami's just I guess it's based off schedule strength. Because that's the only reason why I could see, you know, like these teams like NC State, USC, Miami. And Wake Forest being ranked higher than Tennessee at the end of the year is just because we'd have to play four or five teams that these schools had never competed against the caliber that we play against. And that's like the only, I guess that's the only reason they could even rank these that high. Because there's no way a Miami should be 17 and Tennessee falls 28th. There's just no reason.
Not under
to
a
start,
new head coach.
Not starting the season. Not preseason rankings. Because on paper, dog, Hendon Hooker's better than whatever they're throwing with in Miami. I don't care. That's.
Do you think it would be better if they just didn't release any polls until like week 6?
No.
No, I like it because it gets, one, it gives us all something to talk about and complain about. But two, I just think I'm fine with Tennessee not even being, I'm fine with them being 28. I don't really want them to be any higher. I want them to come out and prove.
Like
their worth. I don't even care that they're not on there. It doesn't matter to me. Shouldn't matter to them. They should just go out and play
right
how they're supposed to play.
Then rounding out the top 25, Kentucky at 21, Cincinnati at 22, Arkansas 23, Ole Miss 24, Houston 25th. Now, we do have a week one matchup between Cincinnati and Arkansas. I still maintain that I think Arkansas covers that 7-point spread.
Yeah. I'd agree with that. I don't know what Cincinnati's even going to look like this year, man. Without, I forgot his name. What's the quarterback? Ritter? Yeah, Desmond Ritter. Without him, man, I don't see how Cincinnati came back in a lot of these games, man. They started so many games last season horribly and just barely won some of them, man, where they just should have dog-washed some teams. But I don't know, man. It's pretty weak. I like this rankings because it just reassures me that there are some just ill people out there.
Well, let's talk about the others' receiving votes. Obviously, Tennessee comes in at 28th. LSU comes in at 30th, so we can rule out a 3:30 matchup on CBS for that matchup.
Right.
Go ahead and do that. Then right behind LSU, 31 is Auburn, followed by Mississippi State at 36. And if you really want to know what the media actually thinks about South Carolina, they have Florida at number 37 and South Carolina at 46.
This is a coach's poll, right?
Yeah. If, I mean, if you really want to know what people think, that's what people think of South Carolina.
I keep forgetting it's a coach's poll, which makes this even weirder sometimes to look at.
And Texas received one vote for first place, by the way.
That's what's blowing my mind, is that somehow 18th-ranked Texas got one first place. Like, who? What coach was that? Snuck that vote in there just for jokes.
Sarkisian.
You think just to make people
laugh?
Yes. God, I want to be that coach.
I was trying to look at, like, the FPI ranking for the schedules, and they were a bunch of them were coming up, like, really different in terms of strength of schedule.
Mm-hmm.
Like, this one has Auburn number one, Mississippi State, Georgia Tech, Vanderbilt, and then Tennessee in terms of strength of schedule. That doesn't make sense to me.
Really?
And that's on three. And then I went to a different one.
Mm-hmm.
And they were completely different. So I don't even like Sports Illustrated, for example. Sports Illustrated has, which you said Houston, mm-hmm. right, was in top 25?
Yeah.
Their strength of schedule is listed at 125th.
Because they're in the AAC.
Right. But I don't understand where all of this data comes from or how they even set this up. But
I don't think anybody really does. I think they just put it into a computer and it's like, okay, this spit it out, so this is what it is.
Guess so.
I mean, there's not a single human being that's doing these analytics by himself.
Right.
Do you have any hot takes for that list of top 25 teams? I'll go first. I'll say that Oklahoma does not finish inside the top 25. They're not going to win 10 games, and they're not going to finish inside the top 25.
You know,
I don't know.
I think Texas is third in the Big 12. I think Baylor wins. Oklahoma and Texas both just fall short by a minute. I think Baylor wipes the floor with these two teams.
Well, I think Baylor and Oklahoma State are your best teams in the Big 12. Maybe Iowa if they can get it going. But, I mean, Iowa's one of those teams. They start out hot. They'll get themselves in the top five even.
Who, and Iowa State?
No, Iowa.
Top five in the Big Ten?
I'm thinking of Big 12. My bad.
I was like, what?
My bad.
Man, if Iowa got to the top five, what? They had to beat so many big good teams. They had to beat
the thing is they have. They've been up to number three. I think they were, number four at one point last year?
I think so.
Yeah.
Which Iowa State's another team that can make a run every now and again.
Mm-hmm. They just love to upset people and just never finish, though.
It's like Purdue.
Yeah, they're there for, like, the big game, and then they won't finish the rest of the season. They'll lose to, like Kansas State or something just to make you rethink that whole game that they just murdered Oklahoma in.
I don't think Michigan – I mean, I don't really see them doing that well.
Yeah, say it again. Say it again. I agree. I think Michigan's dog water this year.
And Davis has said that A&M, Clemson, Oregon – USC and Texas are all ranked way too high.
I'd agree with all those.
Mm-hmm. Will says that Clemson won't finish inside the top 25.
See, that's
that's a hot take.
I agree with that, though, because what did they change from last year? Do they have almost the exact same team, maybe a few more recruits, but DJ just did not look great at all at any point last season. He looked terrible all season until he played terrible teams. Like, it's kind of hard to think that you're going to be the face of Clemson if you start your year at Clemson with, again, the schedule they have, and you're terrible. I don't see how you get better the next year and you're still high on them just because you couldn't recruit a good quarterback to replace them.
Does Clemson kind of remind you of how Tennessee was coming out of the 90s, going into the early 2000s? You just had a national championship. You don't repeat the next year, but you have a pretty solid season. And then the next year, you start out with probably one of your worst starts that you've had in a long time. Because people forget how bad the start was to that 2000 season. And then you turn around the next year, and you're in contention for a national title. And then you fall short in the SEC championship, and then you never recover.
I don't know, because I don't – That depends on Dabo's future. I don't know
if he's built up such a culture at Clemson that now it kind of almost can't come crumbling down. Like, you can have bad years like you did last year, but you can always build back up because of what he has built. With how many national championships does he have now?
Two.
But it is Clemson, and I mean, there's no prestige really to the ACC. I could never picture Clemson crumbling to, I guess. I don't think Clemson would make a bad hire, as many bad hires.
Who's the better conference? When you take out Texas and Oklahoma, who's the weaker conference? Is it the ACC or is it the Big 12? I think the ACC.
ACC, in my opinion.
So in the Power 5 that we have, Power 5 conferences.
I don't know. That's hard.
Pac-12, obviously the weakest, right?
Mm-hmm.
I don't know, man.
ACC's number 4.
I don't know. So the Big 12...
I mean, you could almost argue.
Besides,
that,
if you took out Oklahoma and Texas, though, you would just be left with Baylor, TCU, and in a weak Iowa State.
Oklahoma State.
Oh, yeah. So four teams in the ACC would still have Clemson, Florida State, Miami, Pitt now.
But what's Florida State done?
Well, I expect them to be back, dude. That would suck if they never came back. I love having Florida State be good. Don't ruin my hopes
and
dreams.
Oh, it would suck, yeah, but the fact of the matter is
but
they suck.
They're still better than Kansas and Kansas State, probably, and they're still – and, like, Wake Forest is better than those two schools. So, Big 12 is pretty weak.
They were playing for an ACC title.
The Big 12 is really weak without Texas and Oklahoma. I don't know. That's a tough question. I'd probably say the Big 12 is weaker without Texas and Oklahoma. I think the ACC is probably stronger because that's pretty disrespectful.
I don't know. Listen to their schedule for Clemson this year. Georgia Tech, Furman, Louisiana Tech, Wake Forest, NC State, Boston College, Florida State, Syracuse, Notre Dame, Louisville, Miami, South Carolina.
Well, Boston College and them are supposed to be pretty decent. Wake Forest and them. So I don't know. Like, you can't say they're trash, but compared to, like, the SEC schedule, everything is trash.
True.
That it is. Hour number one of the books. Hour number two of Overtime coming up right here on Fan Run Radio.